In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I have a little frog in my throat. I hope everything's all right. Listen, my friends, there is one chapter in Luke that is just Luke. No other Bible, no other Matthew, Mark, or John contain this chapter. And it is the chapter of forgiveness. It is the chapter of being found. It is the chapter of being loved in a very special way. And it's the 15th chapter of St. Luke. Let's see who the audience is, because it's always great to know who the audience of Jesus happens to be. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners. I'm telling you, if there was a Pharisee there, they're going to get very angry. And as a matter of fact, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." My Lord, isn't this something? Isn't this something? So tax collectors and sinners came to listen to Jesus. Why? Because he doesn't condemn them. He has words of everlasting life. But the Pharisees are saying he can't be a prophet. He can't be a holy man because he is eating with tax collectors and sinners, and that's who he communicates with. And the scripture says, so to them, to the Pharisees, as well as to tax collectors and sinners, he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? This is something that happens. Sheep are not very smart. One sheep got lost. And you know, the wolf is looking for lamb chops. So the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the stray, goes after the one. Are you that one this day? Are you the one that Jesus Christ comes after and looks for you? Are you the one that he's looking for you today? Are you the one? I'm asking you a question. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. The good shepherd is looking out after the one that is lost. Are you that one? Let him do what he wants to do. And I know what you're saying. I'm not worthy. It has nothing to do with worthiness. It has everything to do with the grace of God. Are you that one? Well, listen. And when he finds it, what does he do? He sets it on his shoulders and with great joy upon arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." We're going to have a party. We're going to have a party. I found the lost sheep. Let's have a party. And, you know, the party was singing and dancing and eating and drinking. And, oh, it was fun because the shepherd found the lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. There will be more joy in heaven. The angels will dance if you give yourself to Jesus. The saints will jump up and down if you give yourself to Jesus. But you know what? He says over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance, there is not one that have not sinned. So everyone is that lost sheep before Jesus finds them. 99 righteous people. There is no one righteous, not one. Not one. No one is righteous. And yet, the ones that he's speaking to, the Pharisees, they think that they're A-OK. They're fine and dandy. They wear the right clothes. They say the right prayers. They go to the right temple or synagogue. I tell you, Jesus is always looking for the stray. I've said this 5,000 times. I'm going to say it 5,001. Jesus is always for the underdog. I found out today, or I should say, I found out Friday, that a woman listens to me. She's over 100. And one day I talked about, you're not going to die until you fulfill your destiny. And that touched her. That touched her so deeply. She says, I haven't fulfilled my destiny. Now, I'm telling you, this woman is probably in a nursing home. And yet she knows she has a destiny. Isn't that something? The Pharisees, on the other hand, thought that they were in God's pocket. And yet they were far from God because they said he eats with sinners and tax collectors. Then it goes to the next story. I don't particularly like this story, but it's in the Bible. Oh, what woman having 10 coins, maybe I don't understand it, having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it. What kind of a lamp would it be? An oil lamp. And what would be the fuel? Olive oil. So she's looking for the lost coin. And when she does find it, she calls people together, her friends, her neighbors, and says, ah, rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost. In just the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Are you that lost sheep? Are you that lost coin? Well, you know what? Why do you deprive the angels of having a good time today? Why do you deprive the saints of jumping up and down that one more person is saved by Jesus Christ? You know, it's just very interesting because we always think of the worst. I'm not worthy. It has nothing to do with worthiness. That sheep wasn't worthy. That sheep was lost. Do you understand me? He was lost, and the shepherd found him and put him on his neck. That sheep was found, and as a result, he had a party, a great party. What about us? What about us when sinners repent? Do we have parties? Are we comfortable with the underdogs? Or do we want all the people who are going to give us the greatest donations? I tell you, we're all underdogs. We're all underdogs. If we belong to Jesus, he's come after us in our own depravity. We're all underdogs. None of us is righteous, no, not one on his own power. Then he gave them another story. This one everyone knows. A man had two sons. I want to ask you, there are three people involved in this, the father and the two sons. Which one are you today? Let's read. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, give me a share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. You know, that wasn't usually done. That was done after the father died. But that young son wanted to see what he needed to do with this money, with this property. Oh, I tell you, that young son was, rambunctious is the word. He wanted out of father's house. He had better things to do. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings, and he set off for a different country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. that's not good. Wine, women, and song. Oh, he had all friends when he was buying them drinks. He had all friends when he was taking them out to dinner. But then what happens? He runs into having absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And what does it say? He collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he found himself in dire need. A famine happened. My Lord, it was bad crop, no food, very little to drink. He had no money. He had spent it all in wine, women, and song. Now he needs a job, and jobs are very hard to find. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to farm and tend the pigs, the swine. This is interesting. You want to know what? Jews hated swine. They were unclean animals. And he's feeding the pigs with this slop, with these pods. He is absolutely depraved. He is like he's got the worst job in the world, like he works in a sewer. A worst job in the world. So he went to tend the swine, and he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. My friend, have you ever driven by a pig farm? It is absolutely the most disgusting smell that you would ever know. And when you go by this pig farm, you're there, you're not in the farm, but you're on the road, and you smell it for about a quarter of a mile either way. What a terrible, terrible job. And not only was it smelly and miserable, but this job was against his religion. He was feeding pigs, and pigs were unclean. Coming to his senses. Oh, have you come to your senses? Coming to his senses and thinking, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food to eat? But here am I dying of hunger. Coming to his senses. You know what I say? The pigsty worked its job in the young man. The pigsty worked its job in the young man. What pigsty are you in? What sin are you in? Are you sick of it? Have you reached the point that you don't want to play anymore with this foolish sin, with this foolish life? Has the pigsty worked its way in your life that you're going to move to the Father and you're going to say to the Father, 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 I'm dying of hunger. I shall say to him, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Was he still the son in the pigsty? He was. He was a son that smelled like a pig. He was the son that was unclean. But he remembers that the hired hands of Papa have much more food and clothing than he had. And he just wants to be a hired hand. So he called, I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still far away off, the father caught sight of him. 2 points. First of all, the father is looking for the son. He wants the son back, but he doesn't go looking for him in the pigsty. He waits for the pigsty to do its work. He waits for the sin to do its work. I am disgusted of drinking. I'm disgusted of stealing because I take drugs. I'm disgusted. I need to go home to my father. I need to ask my father through the blood of Jesus to forgive me. I need that. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. Isn't that wonderful? You know what compassion means? To suffer with. He ran to his son. He embraced him. Oh, he smelled. Kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. That's something. The father says, you know what? You are reinstated as my son. You were my son when you were in the pigsty, and you have been reinstated to the house, and you will not live like one of the servants, because you are my son. Do you realize that you are the son of God? That you are a son of God? You are a daughter of God? Do you realize that whatever pigsty you're in, it's not greater than the Father's love for you? Do you know that? There is no hole so deep that he is not deeper still. There is no hole so deep that he is not deeper still. You know who said that? Corrie ten Boom. There is no hole so deep that he is not deeper still. She said that in the concentration camp when they were killing her sister. There is no hole so deep that he is not deeper still. And they quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. I hope they gave him a bath. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. I love this. Sandals on his feet. Because you know what? With the sandals, he can walk away again if he wants. With the sandals, he can walk away again if he wants. Now, I'm going to tell you, he won't walk away because he will remember the pigsty. He won't walk away because he will remember the pigsty. He will continue to be with the Father because he doesn't want to go back to the pigs. Now, the story of the sheep, it's the same thing. He puts it on his shoulders, but before that, he breaks his leg. And then on his shoulders, he heals the sheep so that it won't travel far away. The sheep won't want to have a broken leg. The sheep wants to stay in the flock. Do you understand that sometimes God has to be harsh with us? Sometimes God has to be harsh with us because we don't learn any other way. But he is always there with open arms, ready to receive us back. Always ready with sandals and rings and robes. Then the father said, let us celebrate with the feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and now is found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, he neared the house, and he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, what does this mean? The servant said, your brother has returned home, and he is safe and sound. The oldest son became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father, look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, and you didn't give me a goat. But when this son of yours came, who swallowed himself up with the property and prostitutes for him, you slaughtered the fatted calf. That's calf is veal. You slaughtered the veal. Prime meat. You know how much veal costs? Go to the butcher shop and ask for a pound of veal cutlets. You know what it'll cost you? Maybe $25 a pound. And you know what? You'll find that the little veins in it too. They don't take the veins out. They don't pound them enough. You know, when we were children, we would have veal cutlets once a week. Do you know how much the cutlets cost a pound then? And it was still a lot of money, $5 a pound. And my father wanted veal cutlets once a week. and we ate veal cutlets once a week. We didn't have much, but we ate well. My father would not say chicken is good enough for me. I want veal. Veal is always the prime meat. And the father killed the veal, and he started with the feast. But when this son of yours returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf. He said to him, my son, you are here always with me, and everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your father was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and is found. Now, who are you? Are you the son that's lost? Are you the father who is beneficent? Or are you the older brother? You know who the older brother was? The Jews. Oh, I was thinking that sometimes I can be the older brother. Oh, yes. Not only did he find me, but sometimes I can think, as I'm driving and I see people by the beach having a good day, and I'm saying, it's not fair. They're having a good day. Probably they don't even belong to you. They don't even belong to you as a father and son and father and daughter. And they're having a good day. And here I am. I'm miserable. It's not fair. Oh, I know how it is to be the eldest son. I know how it is to be the eldest son. I also know how it is to be the father who welcomes back people who have sinned. I know that. And I also am the prodigal son, because if he didn't find me, I'd be lost. I'd be lost forever. Now, who are you? Sounds like something out of Alice in Wonderland. Who are you? Are you the prodigal? Then run back to Papa. Run back to Daddy. But I smell. I don't care how you smell. Run back to Daddy and say, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. Please return. Take me back. I need to be taken back. I need you, Father. Don't run away. Run to. You know what happens when we sin? We run away from God rather than run to. Let your sin be a diving board into His mercy. Into His mercy. Into His mercy. Who are you? Are you the elder son? You've been faithful. And now you're saying to God, look at that prostitute who became a Christian. You're doing miracles through her. And I've been with you for how many years? You know, I won't tell you. These are real stories. These are real stories. The Jews were the elder son. But now the Catholics can be the elder son. Look at those evangelicals, those charismatics. They're doing miracles, and we have the fullness of truth, yeah? But have we repented? Have we repented? Have we realized that we have gone astray from the Father? Have we realized that we've been feeding pigs? We've been feeding pigs. What about pornography? Well, you know, that's like a pig. Pigsty. It's gross. It's miserable. It's miserable. It's gross. Maybe you had an abortion. Oh, but run back to the Father. He will forgive you. He will not hold it against you. Maybe you've had 4 abortions. Run back to the Father. He will forgive you. He will not leave you in sin. He will heal you. Get to confession. Go do what you need to do, and the Lord will take you back. As a matter of fact, the Lord's love is drawing you back today through the words that I'm saying today. The Lord's love is drawing me back today through the words that I'm saying. I need to hear these words because Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Father waits for His children to come back to the Father. Come back to the Father. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, come back to Daddy. Come back to Papa. Come back, come back, come back. It's time to return. It's not time to look at the sin. You know, I was telling someone last night who asked me a question. And he wanted to know why something happened. But it didn't. It happened, but now he's free. I said, when traveling through life's journey, let this be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. Keep your eye upon that you're free today and not upon the hole of what you were 4 years ago. Stop looking at the hole and look at the donut. Look at the donut. Look at the donut. When traveling through life's journey, let this be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I tell you, you can go to PayPal and you can leave a donation. That would be great. Father, in season and out of season, no, inseason.net. Inseason.net is our web address, www.inseason.net. You can leave a gift on PayPal, or you can send one to us, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. To be on WROL, WEZE costs us $100,000 about each year. So I do need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And may the Lord touch you in a marvelous way today. Come back. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.